Christ Church, Branchville, Alabama, presents this podcast of the weekly sermon. If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact deacons at christchurchbranchcove.org. Enjoy the sermon.
Our sermon text this morning is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. Philippians 3, 1 through 21. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord our God and merciful Father in heaven, we are grateful for this day, for your grace and mercy to us, your children. Thank you for the love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and your continued dwelling in us by your Spirit. We are thankful to draw near to you in worship and to hear from your holy word. Make us to understand your word in accordance with your divine will, so we will learn to put our trust in you alone. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices, to be divided in soul and spirit to your good pleasure. Grow us after the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a joke that's often told that when you're asked a question in Sunday school, it's always safe just to answer, Jesus. You stand a pretty good chance of providing the right answer in saying, Jesus. Sunday school teachers will have a hard time telling a student that he or she is wrong if they just say Jesus. If we have good Trinitarian theology, most answers are connected with Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit. Everything comes back to the true and the living God. He is the creator and sustainer of everything. For from him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Apostle Paul gives us an adult version of this approach, as Jesus is the safe answer in this passage, Philippians chapter 3. For Jesus is the answer to all of life's questions. Jesus is the free gift God has given us, his people. Jesus is worth more than any worldly accomplishment. Jesus is the ultimate prize that we desire to attain for all eternity. And Jesus is the means to get us there. Jesus. Got it? Jesus. Good. So this first section in Philippians chapter 3, Paul detailed all that he had gained in life pre-Jesus. All his accolades, all his accomplishments before converting to Christianity, before becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Paul was blameless in faithfulness to the law, going all the way back in his life to the eighth day when he was circumcised. He was a blood Israelite, not some lowly Gentile convert. He was a true blue blood of Israel, as he could trace his family line all the way back to Benjamin. This is a strong claim. I'm from Benjamin. Because Benjamin was the son of Rachel. And Rachel was the wife Jacob really loved. So Paul was a Benjamin. Being a Benjamite was quite a badge of pride. And the fact that Paul could even trace his lineage to his tribal birth was no small feat. Remember, they were all called Jews because they were Judahites. They were all associated with the tribe of Judah because of the exile. See, Paul still had his papers from Ancestry.com that said he was a Benjamite. Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees were the Bible-believing evangelicals of the day. They were conservative. They took the Word of God seriously, not like the liberals of his day. Paul's points of pride were so many, Paul could even say he persecuted Christians. He was intense. Paul was hardcore. Paul was probably a blogger. Despite achieving all of that, Paul found himself in jail. Think about that. Despite all that he had done throughout his life, Paul was hated by his Jewish brethren. Despite all he had accomplished, Paul found himself on the wrong end of the Jewish purity test. When the cool kids came checking badges and ID cards, Paul's resume couldn't keep him out of trouble. It carried him no weight. The question is, why? What's the answer? Jesus. Because of Jesus, everything Paul had done, it get him invited to all the best parties. But once they found out that he worshiped Jesus, he was out. Once they found out his true confession, Jesus is Lord, his accomplishments couldn't save him the beating. Paul had the aroma of Christ on himself. The aroma of Christ, you can smell that a mile away. Now most, mind you, most of his accomplishments were good or notable. There's nothing wrong with being a Hebrew or a blood Israelite. Nothing wrong with claiming Benjamin as your favorite tribe. You can even be a card-carrying Pharisee, like Nicodemus. Those are fine. Persecuting the church? Not so much. Now, at this point, when he had written this letter, Paul had rid himself of the negative. He's no longer persecuting the church. His accolades didn't hurt him per se. But what hurt Paul was putting his trust in those accolades over Jesus. It was thinking all those fleshly accomplishments, all those associations, were more important in the eyes of God than his union with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we can have accomplishments in this life. They can be good. You can be a founding member of this church. You can be a lifelong resident of the state of Alabama. You can be a homeschooler. You can have a strict diet. You can have big families. You can be good at business. You can even throw a football over a mountain. Those are good things. We shouldn't be ashamed at those accomplishments. But what is a problem is when we place in our trust in those things over our union with Jesus. What is a problem is thinking those things are more important to our identity, more important to what we do as Christians, than what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus is doing in us, and what Jesus is doing through us. Jesus is more important. So Paul had all the important stuff, but it didn't matter in the long run. He was still persecuted because of Jesus. And what was Paul's response to his persecution? Verse 1, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Why? That's the question. Why? Because of Jesus. Paul had the resume, but Jesus was better. Jesus was the prize Paul had. Verses 7 and 8, Paul wrote, "But what things were gained to me, those accomplishments, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." Everything else paled in comparison to Jesus. Again, most of the stuff was good, most. But compared to Jesus, rubbish, trash. Actually, what Paul really wrote in the Greek, not trash, boys and girls, listen up, dung, poop. On the ride home today, when Mom and Dad asked, "Did you hear the preacher? What did he talk about?" Now you have an answer. Paul was willing to flush it all away to be a Christian, to be united to Jesus Christ. Jesus was the prize God had given Paul in his deliverance. When Paul was saved, he got Jesus. To be found in him, to have his righteousness, the righteousness of God. And that was far better than anything else Paul could ever ask or imagine, anything this life had to offer. Jesus is better than anything we can have, anything we can earn, anything we can experience in this life. We can drive around this country. We can see the great majestic sights of creation and just be in awe. We can have monetary success. We can climb the corporate ladder at work. But if we don't have Jesus, it's worthless. It's dung. If I gain the whole world and do not know Christ, it is dung. If I attain the highest office in the land and am not in Jesus, it matters nothing. If I'm beloved and I have an endless supply of friends and supporters, but am not a Christian, I am lost. I'm better off losing everything, but still having Jesus. Jesus is better than anything. Jesus is better than anybody. Jesus is better than the whole world. Do you want to go to jail? Do you want to get sick? Do you want to be persecuted, suffer, and die? No, of course not. But if you had Jesus, it would be worth it. We wouldn't choose all the bad stuff to happen to us. But if we did have to go through it, how could we get through it at all? How can you get through all the hard times? That's the question. What's the answer? Jesus. Verses 10 and 11, Paul wrote, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Being found in him. So we are in him. We are in Jesus. We are crucified with Christ. We are united with him in his death. If we are united with him in his death, we are united with him in his resurrection. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So we have fellowship in his death. We have fellowship in his sufferings. A servant is not greater than his master. If Jesus was persecuted and suffered, we can expect the same. And by his grace, the power of resurrection through suffering, we can persevere. We have Jesus. Jesus brings us through it all. He is the gift we have. We are in him. And he is the means by whom we get through it. And he's the destination. He's where we're going. Verses 12 and 13, Paul wrote, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead." Brothers and sisters, we're not there yet. God is conforming us to the image of his Son. He is growing us up to be like Jesus. And suffering does that. Faithfulness through persecution. Unrighteous imprisonment will do that. It'll grow you up. Paul saw that in his trials. Can we see the same in ours? I'm being conformed. I'm maturing. God is gracious. Can that be our belief? Can that be our confession? For we have fellowship with his sufferings. We're not doing it on our own. He's gone before us to show us how and to trust in our Father's care. And he's given us his Spirit to bring us through. This difficult purpose of life has a purpose. Difficult process of life has a purpose. And that purpose is that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, that I may be perfected, that I may take hold of the prize, the final prize. question, what is the final prize? Jesus. To be with the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is the gift we have. Jesus is the destination. Jesus is the means by whom we get there. Now that might raise questions. That might cause some confusion. Do we have the Lord right now? Or is he the prize we gain at the end? The answer is yes. It may seem difficult to grasp, but it doesn't have to be. By grace you've been saved. It is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Your salvation is a gift. You have Jesus. When you are saved, you are united to Jesus. Is that true right now? Yes. And when we are saved, we die with Christ and we're raised anew. We're united with him in his death. So what comes next? You have new life. Philippians 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work through you. I've been crucified with Christ. He lives in me. So by grace you've been saved. By grace, God is at work in you. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, salvation by grace, how will he not with him graciously give us all things? Brothers and sisters, your redemption is all of grace. You are being conformed to the image of his son is merit? By your own strength? Or by grace? Don't confuse the grace of God in you and through you with some whole solo effort. Salvation is of the Lord. Do I have to faithfully respond to that grace? Do I have to do what God says? Yes. Is it of my own strength? Of course not. Do I still have to do it? Yes. And Paul's words here speak to the maturity in a Christian. Maturity recognizes that I haven't been conformed to the image of Jesus yet. I haven't arrived. I haven't finished the race. See, immaturity gets comfortable. Immaturity thinks it's all over but the shouting. Sit back, relax. Immaturity can get lazy. Nothing else needs to be done. I'm a finished product. True maturity knows I must press onward. Jesus saved me. Roll up your sleeves. There's more to do. What communicates this dynamic, boys and girls, is the story of the tortoise and the hare. The hare was foolish. He got out to a comfortable early lead. The race was over. It was in the bag. Nothing else to do. Just coast and be a champion. Boys and girls, who won the race? The tortoise or the hare? The tortoise. The tortoise knew it was a long race. A slow start or even a late start does not rule out future victory. Stay the course. Keep up the hard work. This is the Christian faith. And this is true for us individually, and it's true for us corporately. Think to yourself, are you finished? Is God finished with you? Have you been conformed to the image of his son? Are you still battling sins? Weaknesses of the flesh? We should say, I'm not done. God's not done with me. We shouldn't say, I can rest on my salvation and ride it out the rest of my earthly life, nothing left to do. We should say, I can see where I need to grow, areas where I can still serve. I don't change in a day. This is a long-term project. but I can make little by little progress every day. Grow a little. Trust in the Lord. Keep after it. Slow and steady. Same is true of the church. Do we have a small view of the mission of the church? Do the nations need to be discipled? Was that a job Jesus gave us that we could actually finish? He actually intended for us to do that? Or was he just trying to keep us busy till he came back? If it doesn't happen right away, will it still happen? You know, will the kingdom spread slowly, kind of like leaven? We must have a tortoise view of our own sanctification. Not that we're satisfied with slow growth. Not that we're happy with struggles with sin. But that this project will take our whole lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Though our outer selves are wasting away, our inner selves are being renewed day by day. We are being renewed day by day. Our whole lives are being transformed. Some of us, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. This is a big project here. We also have to have a tortoise view of the work of the church. Not that we don't put full effort, not that we dream small for the progress of the church, not that fast growth is unattainable. We'd love for Odenville to be discipled for Jesus' sake. But we recognize that Jesus is building his church brick by brick, living stone by living stone. And in that building, verses 20 and 21, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is even able to subdue all things to himself. All things. Jesus is presently subduing all things under himself. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All creation is being brought in submission to Jesus. It's happening right now. Now we look around, we see there are many who do not bow the knee to King Jesus, institutions and people. So we have a lot of work to do. And what is our attitude to be in that work? Rejoice. Do it joyfully. Paul repeatedly exhorted the Philippians to rejoice. We have a joyful task. We have fellowship with the true and the living God. That's no small truth. We are united to the victorious one. Even in our struggles, he can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. He went through it too. And he conquered it through his faithfulness. And we're not alone in this task. We're not alone in our service to the Lord. We're not on an island. We serve and grow this kingdom united to Christ in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to grow all by myself. And you don't have to grow all by yourselves. The Spirit grows us all together. And we don't have to spread the kingdom alone. That's what makes the hare mentality, as opposed to the tortoise mentality, the hare mentality of the church so frustrating. We have an army of Christians around the world. The victory is guaranteed. We have the authority of Jesus' name and the power of the Holy Spirit. How can we not conquer all? Why can't the nations be discipled? So as Christians, as the church, we submit ourselves to His lordship, to doing it His way. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. He's given us His will. There's no addendum to His word. We can actually do it with what He's given us here. Love God. Love neighbor. Preach the word. Administer the sacraments. Practice faithful church discipline. Basically, obey God. And our mindset is one of rejoicing and the repeated theme of Philippians. Empty yourselves for the King. Empty yourselves for the King. Back to verses 10 and 11. Paul wrote, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Being conformed to His death. "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Brothers and sisters, do you want to attain to the resurrection of the dead? How about in your individual lives? How do you do it? Be conformed to His death. Empty yourselves. Die to yourself like Jesus did. Church. Do you want the church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, to move past our present lukewarm complacency? Do you want the church to move past this outright disobedience of this age? Then the church needs to die, empty ourselves, and be resurrected to a faithful church. That means we have to die like Jesus. Empty yourselves for one another. Empty yourselves for your neighbor. Love and serve and die for the world, church, and trust that the Lord will bless it. Because where does judgment begin? Judgment begins in the household of God. So if we want to change this world, it starts here, being conformed to the image of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God and merciful Father in heaven, we thank You that You have brought us to know You and have caused Your Spirit to be Your Word to be proclaimed to us. Grant that we may live in Your Son by Your Spirit, strengthened in the faith and overflowing in thankfulness. Remember Your mercy and compassion on us by moving us to faithfulness in our love for You and for one another. Grant us repentance from sin and show Your great love to us in Your Son by Your Spirit, dwelling in us by Your grace. Keep us from sin, temptation, and harm. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would like to support our ministry or get a higher quality recording on CD, please contact Deacons at Christ Church, Branch Cove.org.